Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is a gorgeous and beautiful, voluptuous Sunday morning. Hey, Sunday, May the 8th, 2011. And how deeply grateful I am you chose to be here with me on this Sunday as we take a look at some very, very powerful questions that some very generous people have offered to me. And if you ever would like to offer a question or a subject, something that you would like maybe discussed a little bit here and there, please come to my website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And if you go there, which I hope you do, it's our brand new website. It's very, very different than our old one. And hopefully you will enjoy it. If you go there, go to the main page, of course. That's where you'll be brought to. And then once you're there, go over to media and then go down to radio programs and you'll see. You'll get it from there. And you can go and listen to past programs that I've done. You can go and listen to past programs and even more than that, ask questions. So please feel free to be with us. I would be honored. I have a wonderful series of beautiful discourses on the Beatitudes that I'm offering for the month of May and June. The first part will be this month in May and the second part in June. And they are very unique and deeply special. I don't even know how to describe the beauty of the Beatitudes. There is a language here. There is a love here that the Master offers us that is way beyond our conceptual ideas and beliefs. The Beatitudes are really a blueprint to consciousness, the depth of consciousness, and how to arrive there through compassion and love, perseverance, much like the Eightfold Path that Buddha offered. All great masters offer us some teaching that brings us to the direct path of love, the direct path that is authentic. And I hope you will avail yourself of these Beatitudes that I have made for you. It is not about theology or religion. It is about step-by-step insight into how to move directly into the path of love. I am about direct experience. I don't think you need one more philosophy, one more religion, one more theoretical idea. You just don't need any more philosophies. What you need is that which will bring you to direct experience. And that can be very startling, I think, for the average person. If you are not that average person, if you are not bound by your fears and your prejudices, I think you will find the Beatitudes extremely valuable. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you can go to catalog, go to discourses, you will see Beatitudes, you click on the Beatitudes and there you are. You can order safely and securely from there. Or if you prefer, it's Sunday morning, I'm sitting right here by the phone, 831-622-8410. That's 831-622-8410, and I'll be there till about 9:15 or so. Let's go to our questions for this beautiful day. I say I love, but to be truthful with you, now I'm wondering, can any of us really ever love each other? Sally from Fresno. And Sally listens to us via the website at aspire.org, she told me, and I thank her. You know, Sally, the word love is tossed around a lot. And I understand exactly what you're saying about the word love. When we say I love you, we really think we mean it. But if it is the love that most of us have in the human form, then it isn't love at all. It is merely my idea of love, my projected emotions placed on you, making you, so to speak, the object of my fixation compulsion. Now, a lot of people don't want to look at that. This is so out of the box for the majority of people that we hear. What am I really saying when I love you? Well, if I'm in my emotions saying it to you, it means that I need you for some special purpose. Maybe I need you as a sponsor for my life. Maybe I need for you to make me a comfortable home. Maybe I need you for all sorts of reasons that have nothing to do with love. It has to do with my compulsions, my addictions, and my shortcomings. Maybe I love you because inside of myself I don't feel very good about me and I don't want to be alone. Most people, Sally, love each other only because they don't want to be alone. Being alone is the worst thing that could ever happen to them, so they just don't want that to happen. You say, I love. But maybe the truth is, I'm now wondering if I've ever loved. You're right. I work with married couples in sessions, privately and separately and together, and I can tell you that most couples never find love. They find a mutual kind of cooperation with each other that, quote-unquote, as they tell me all the time, gets them through. Now, if I only love you to get through my life, I don't think that's love at all. I don't think love has anything to do with me sponsoring you, supporting you, some kind of business deal where you and I support each other and you do this chore and I do that chore. I hear it all the time on the radio, how people describe love and relationship. It's like a business deal. There's no love in it. It's just about survival. And if I love you based on my need for survival, then I don't love you at all. Why don't we just admit it? We live together to support each other so we can survive in this economy, in this life. We have a mutual affection for each other based out of emotion. But I have noticed this all of my career in helping people. You're only one word, maybe one sentence away from losing everything you love in a relationship. One. And it can happen anytime. You can say one wrong thing and the whole thing's over. I will never forget, Sally, many, many years ago, about 1984, 85, I'm sitting with a couple. I'll never forget this. I wept. I just wept. Here I am sitting with this couple. I've worked with them for a long time. And all of a sudden, he comes in for a session. He says, I have an announcement to make, something I want to say. Now, she absolutely, unequivocally, would have gone to her death saying that she loved this man. Absolutely, unequivocally. I love him. I'm going to hang in there with him. I care about him. We'll get through our difficulties. I said, okay, what do you have to say? And he looked at her and he said, Margaret, I am gay. Three words. I am gay. Game over. She didn't love him anymore, she said. Now she thinks she never loved him. He betrayed her. He didn't tell her the truth. She went into all the victim stuff she could muster up, and women are great at victimhood. I mean, it's like they go to school on it. And there you are. And he looked at me and he said, she never loved me, did she? And I go, nope, never loved you. And he said, well, it's over. And that was the end of it. They got an ugly, ugly divorce. He went off with his lover and she withered away in hatred for the rest of her life. And about 3 weeks ago passed on. Before she passed on, her daughter called me, Sally, and said to me, hey, she never got over my father. My father killed her. No. Her love killed her. Not the father. Her love. The way she loved. When Buddha said, see how you love and what keeps you from the journey. He meant what he said. See the way you love and what keeps you from the journey of your own heart and soul. Sally, Can you ask me, can any of us really love each other, not from one ego to another? No, that is not possible. And if I only love you because you love me, then there is no love in it. You know what Jesus said about loving them that love you? If you only love them that love you, what reward have you? None. None. The whole effort is to drop the emotion and actually see through compassion, a certain kind of empathy even, where you are in another person's life. Some people come to us due to karma. Some people come to us due to being unresolved in ourselves, and we draw someone exactly that is necessary for us to have that resolution eventually if we are patient and wise. Some people come to help us. Some people come seemingly not to help us, but are there to show us how impossible we've become. Sally, do what I do. I sit with myself and I ask, how impossible am I? It's impossible. See, I could have been a singer. I didn't need to do this thing I do on Sundays. Yeah. Ask yourself, how impossible have I become? How absolutely difficult am I to love? And then take a look at it and see what you're willing to let go of. That will be the key. What will you let go of? That is the key to everything in a human being's life. And most people, they're not willing very much to make love possible. We ignore love in us for the sake of being distracted by our emotions and our idea, our fairy tale idea of love. You have to want love more than wanting what you think will get you love. That is the truth. Please forgive me. Namaste. Fascinating question, Sally. You must be a very unusual person, very unusual woman. I rarely get a question like that from anyone, much less a woman who typically they pride themselves on knowing what love is. But in fact, who among us? All right, the next question comes from Thomas in San Diego. Where do I go to get beyond the mind? My mind is driving me crazy. It's full of fear, Thomas. What do I do to get beyond my mind? Stop thinking. Hey, Doc, it hurts when I do that. Henny Youngman, don't do that. Just understand something. It is, Thomas, my relationship with my thoughts that create my despair, that create the mind that I suffer from as Greg Penn. This is where it all begins. If you and I would not be so infatuated with the stupidity of my and your thoughts and how futile they are, because they're a vicious round little circle that goes around and around and around and around and around and around, if you wouldn't go there with that, you would find meaning. You would find that there is something beyond your thoughts, and you're going to have to meditate, you know? You know why people don't meditate? It's basically because they fear they can't. And why can't they? Because they don't want to go within and confront their thoughts. But meditation is not confrontation of thoughts. This is why I like the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you come to a point where you see that your thinking is totally futile, absolutely futile, you have humbled yourself to a point where you no longer need to think the thoughts you do. Oh, they're going to come at you. But here's what I want you to look at, Thomas. How do you think a thought? How do you entertain it? How do you keep that thought going and going and going? And how unmerciful is it to keep thoughts going in me that are driving me crazy by interacting with them? Find out something, Thomas. Be experimental. What would it be like if you didn't think your thoughts? What if you didn't talk to them? This is what I mean by think your thoughts. What if you didn't talk to them? What if you didn't own them? What if you just looked at them as clouds passing over the sky of your mind? You just watch them pass. They don't particularly mean anything. They're there. And they'll keep coming and re-coming and occurring and reoccurring only to get your attention. But maybe now you've come to a place where you don't need that anymore. That is not something that is important to you. You're not obsessed with them. Now you've begun the process of meditation. And you've begun the process without closing your eyes and watching your breath. The absolute bare bones of learning how to meditate. Now the next thing you do is instead of living your life according to every thought that crosses your mind, find out how you can relax into your breath and merely watch your breath going in and out. Again, not interacting with your thoughts that are telling you you can't do this. This is silly. This isn't going to get you anywhere. You're going to lose it. You're going to make all sorts of mistakes because you're sitting there watching your breath instead of focusing on me. I've gotten you everything you've ever wanted. This is your mind speaking to you. You know, hammering you. This is what I call the hammering. Just passive. Pretend like you're listening to me. You know, I always tell my students this. If you were as passive towards your thoughts as you are towards what I'm trying to teach you, you'd be enlightened by now. Passivity, it's just the way you use your attentions. You know what you'll find, Thomas? You'll find a new mind slowly being born in you. This mind is not a mind of conflict. It is the sound of one hand clapping. It is not a mind that is trying to fight all the time and hit one thought against another thought. It is not confrontational. You'll find your heart seeping in. A new empathy, compassion, love for everything that is going on. And now you're going to be susceptible to great love. Not a small, emotional, egotistical love, but a great love that lives within you. And you will have the opportunity to be the living blessing of everything that is meaningful in your life. There is a magnitude of love and compassion that lives within you. And when you can put aside your need for gratification and fear as a place where you think it makes your life stable, when you are done with fear and gratification, you will see that hatred disappears very quickly. And then you will realize, oh my God, the fear is gone. Now, when the fear is gone, your ego is going to want to grab it again, and that's where most people fail and go right back to the way they were. So, my dear man, you're going to have to practice. It's a very simple process. Just don't entertain your thoughts. Don't argue with them. Don't talk to them. And be passive towards them. It's really very simple. So simple that children do it without even blinking an eye. This is why Jesus said that we have to become as little children. Not childish, but as little children. For only they enter the kingdom of heaven, because they're simple, childlike, beautiful, magnificent. And you are too. You've just gotten too adulty. And the more adulty you get, the more cynical you will be, and you will find that you can't love anymore. And it's all about love. Thomas, thank you for listening to me via my website at aspire.org. I'm very honored that you come and listen, and I hope that this helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question from Kay in Los Angeles. Is love always so far away? Okay, what a beautiful question. It's only as far away as my attention. Love is as far away as my fear. That's the distance between myself and love is how I covet fear. And the more fearful I am and the more I place importance on fear, of course, the more difficult fear is going to be. And it is going to take me away from love. Love is a quality of your being. It is not something outside of you. You and I do not have to go in search of it. It is already there. It lives within you as you. You don't need to worry about where it is. The kingdom of heaven lives within you. Buddha said, love lives within you. Lao Tzu talked about the Tao being the natural state of your inner intrinsic self. So it isn't that you have to find it anywhere. K, we are love. And we are here running around in this life pretending as though we're not. And that's why we have such difficulty in this world, because we run around believing we're not the thing that we are. Now, the mind cannot accept that you are what you are seeking as love, because the mind is so deeply attached to the ego and the past. The mind is basically a compilation of the past. It is nothing but the past coming back at you over and over and over and over again. It is a collage of misunderstandings and conjectures and assumptions based on the past. And when you and I are no longer much interested in that, when you don't think you have to be punished and pay the price for whatever you think your past was, you enter into love. And love is the now. It is the only now there is. There is no time. It is only presence that matters. And if you live with yourself as presence, you will know the matter of your life, the meaning of it, that is. Much will happen out of that. You can conquer anything. You can mean everything. You are everything. You ask me, is love always so far away? Why do you think it's so far away? Because you think? Because you look at your outer world and you don't see any? You don't see your idea of love? My idea of love? What if everything is love in a form I just can't understand because I'm too busy being assumptuous and opinionated about it, which I am, if I'm in Greg. There is more to you than Kay. There's more to me than Greg. And if you can learn to individuate out of your Kay mentality and into consciousness with practice, you will start to feel, sense that which you are. It won't be hard to understand, because you won't need understanding. All you will need is love. And that's what life is all about. Creating the space for love to come to you, to exist in you, to meditate through you. Your life is a meditation. And if you are conscious about that meditation, you will find meaning. Okay. Don't make this journey difficult. Keep it simple. Keep it beautiful. Keep it meaningful. Let love live you, as I tell my students. Let love live you. Let life live you. Let everything that is beautiful live you. Much will happen. Okay, thank you for listening to me via the website at aspire.org. I'm very, very appreciative of your kind comments. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, if you have a comment, a question, something I would be very interested in thinking about here and putting it on the radio to help others, you do a great service when you do this, then come to my website at aspire.org. Go over to the media section, and there, if you do the little pull down at the top there, you will see radio program. Just click on that, and you'll see a little Buddha on his computer, and you can write to me, and I'd love to hear from you. My series on the Beatitudes, as I said a little earlier, very, very important series, very beautiful. We're going to split them up into 2 months. One is May and one is June. And this month I give you the introduction to the Beatitudes, and then I give you three of the most important Beatitudes in the beginning. Blessed are they that are poor in spirit, humility. Blessed are they that mourn, who can see with remorse what they have done. And blessed are the meek, those who are willing to listen, to change the way they live, to have a metamorphosis. And if you are interested in authentic inner work and not airy-fairy stuff, woo-woo, but not true. If you're beyond the unicorns and trying to control your life and make everything the way you want it, I think you will find what I'm offering to you with the Beatitudes very helpful. If you go to the website at aspire.org, please go to catalog, and there you will see discourses. Just click on the discourse. You will see the Beatitudes. Go there. There's a little voiceover there that I made to introduce the Beatitudes to you, and you can order safely and securely there with your donation, which is partly tax deductible and will be used to purchase more airtime of this radio program, Aspire, here on KRXA. And if you prefer not to order through the internet, even though it's safe, you can call me right now at 831-622-8410. That's 831-622-8410. I can put your donation on Visa or MasterCard and send off your CDs immediately today in the mail. It is only through your kind and loving support such as this that Aspire is allowed to stay on the air. We need more sponsors. And if you go to the webpage and look under Support Aspire, you can learn all about Aspire, why it's important, the tax breaks that you get, and how you are serving humankind by being so kind. It's all very important. I'm out of here. I will be back on the air next weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 9:04. I hope you'll join me. And please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.